from the Adam West Hollywood Walk of Fame star in front of the Guinness Museum in Hollywood, California. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling with your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, insurance potentate, renowned herpetologist, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, and team body oiler for the University of Florida's women's grappling gatorettes, Gregory J. Ringhausen. Also featuring the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative for the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who can make babies cry just by looking at them, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, fortune teller, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who once saved a comprehensive insurance policy from a burning building, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan Ringhausen!
Woo!
Yeah! Oh, he's got his knife out. Wow. What an introduction.
Check that out.
Did you close the blade before
Careful.
You threw him a knife?
Yeah, I did.
By the handle.
Check it out. Good. Try it out. Try it out.
Which way is to come out? There it is.
Ooh, Greg's ready for prison. He's got a
Put
knife.
Put in my shoe.
I had to show a FOID card to actually get that.
Really?
You're kidding.
What I'm holding right now is a extremely sharp switchblade knife.
They're illegal.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm lucky to have it.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, you are lucky.
Oil man. Isn't that a line from...
make sure you put the blade in before you do that.
Hey, see, Greg, you got some... What team is it? Lacrosse? No.
Grappling Gatorettes.
The women's
alligator wrestling team.
Women's
from the
alligator wrestling team. So, and Greg's the oil applicator boy.
Yeah,
oil boy.
Hey, I tell you what,
that's a hard job to land. There's a lot of competition for a job like that.
Great gig.
How's that, Debbie? Is that enough oil? Would you like?
Where will you want this dab?
A little more oil. Yeah. Are you oily enough?
You can never be oily enough.
It's getting it the application evenly spread out.
It takes a lot of time, gentlemen.
An oily boho.
Takes a lot of time.
last episode. Remember the last episode? What episode are we on, by the way?
I don't care.
That's 52.
53.
So we're 53, so we've been on over a year.
That's the first episode of a new year.
Hammerlock.
Yeah. Ooh.
What hammer is time. The hammerlock?
Hammer time.
On the mixed martial arts, they call this Kimura, I think, don't they?
I don't know. I haven't watched
it. Have we had a Kimura yet?
No, not that I don't
You
think
need
so.
To get that going.
Kimura.
Anyway, this is the Hammerlock episode 53, and it's got a hammer on it.
In case you couldn't figure that out.
I wonder, do our followers, I was going to say fans, but they're not.
No,
they're no. There's more sadistic
Family,
level in following this show. Do they appreciate the artwork that's going into each one of these episodes? If you notice that Rick has put frames around the
Rick's done the just everything. He's
and
amazing.
Has started coloring them.
I'm retired.
Did you get magic markers for
Christmas? I'm retired. Huh? Actually, yeah, Kristen got me magic markers.
Magic markers.
Oh, what a great gift.
Okay, I got a quick little quiz for you, Alan.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was the last Queen of England?
Queen?
The one that just died recently?
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth.
Queen Elizabeth II, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Who was the star of Bewitched?
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Okay, so you've said Elizabeth twice now in this episode.
Oh, okay.
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 I got you. Right.
Alan's oldest daughter is named Elizabeth.
Okay, wait. What? That intro. I wasn't done yet with the intro.
Same bad time.
Man, I tell
same
you that
bad
when,
channel.
When that music came up, I was
ready
know,
to go,
I was
right?
8 years old again.
You were ready to fight crime.
Laying on the floor in front of the console TV.
Two nights a week.
Oh, I know they would have two parters.
I know. Same bad time.
Like, cause they're ready time. To be cut in half with a laser beam.
You're talking about Batman.
Yeah, and then you got to wait until the next episode to see if they get killed.
Exactly. And if you missed it for whatever idiotic reason, the other kids would be talking about it at school the next day, and you weren't ever going to catch up.
Oh, you're going to be, yeah. Traumatized.
Were you of the age that
was?
That was
I think it was seventh grade.
Weren't you a little old for that, Greg?
Not yet.
Were you the dork in your class?
No,
you're the class punching bag?
You hadn't found girls
yet? Hey, Greg,
yet?
You watched Batman?
Everybody did.
Do you have a Batman t-shirt?
Not yet.
No, it was cool to watch Batman. Even if you're an adult, it was camp.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I thought that was cutting edge.
Climbing up the building and it would be like Colonel Clink open the window for him, right?
But
okay,
the Batmobile has
it's broken now.
The Batmobile has stood the test of time.
Still around.
Oh, you fixed it. Okay.
You just don't have enough strength in your thumb.
Okay, here's my question. The last episode we did, you mentioned that you could land a helicopter in a parking lot if you wanted to, as long as you had money.
You had the money.
Okay. So let's say that you've got lots of money. Like a billionaire, and you're looking for ways to spend your
money. We're talking Gates money. We're talking Bezos money. We're talking
Bezos,
those guys.
Yeah.
Just to where you got so much money that you stretch your mind trying to think
find
of
stupid things to
find
away
stupid
on.
Things. And
you mentioned Bill Gates.
You've actually researched this
a little bit. Yeah, yeah, I did. There are some things out there that are embarrassing that you actually own them. Okay. You could, and these are some things that are out there on the market. You could own the submarine car that was in the movie The Spy Who Loved Me. Remember that
right,
car?
Right,
that,
right.
You know, he drives right in the water and then it turns
into a
submarine.
That was a cool car. What was that car?
It was like a Lotus or
who
something.
Who bought that for how much?
I don't know. It's available for $1 million right now, but it's
no,
one of
I
those,
think
it's one of those super rich guys.
But if you get it, you can't really drive it underwater.
No. It's just a conversation piece.
It's just a way to waste your money.
Yes. Hmm. It is.
Okay, you mentioned something about a shark.
They have this, there was this piece of art created like in the 80s or 90s, and it's a 14-foot tiger shark encased in glass, and it does nothing.
It's not floating?
It's
suspended. It's a preserved shark.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got a title. What's the title of it? It's
Aquarimus?
No.
And
no.
It serves
no purpose at all.
But it's cost a lot of money.
Yeah. Like millions and millions of dollars for that thing.
$6 million. $6 million to $9 million.
You know, we went to, where was it you and I went? We went to a modern art museum, right, Alan?
We have recently. Yes.
And when you go to one of those museums, you know, some of the stuff is interesting and you'd say, well, that is creative and interesting in art. And some of it is just
junk,
just terrible junk. It seems to me that buying certain types of art is a waste of a titanic waste of money.
A lot of money spent on that, isn't there?
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing, you know, Van Gogh's going for what, $20, $30 million?
Yeah, I wouldn't put out that kind of money for Van Gogh.
But you mentioned Bill Gates when you opened it up, Allie. And he was the one.
Okay, here it is. Here's the name of it. It's called The Physical Impossibility of Death in the Mind of Someone Living.
Great
that's
title.
That's the name of the shark that's preserved in formaldehyde in a vitrine glass case.
All right.
$8 million.
14-foot long.
Steve Cohen is the guy who owns that one.
Yeah. Because you don't want to take $8 million and like feed a country's
homeless
worth of hungry children when you could own a shark in
formaldehyde
cased in glass.
That's ink.
Now, you mentioned Bill Gates when you started, and he did spend a lot of money on a book, almost $24 million.
Oh, I know which one that is. It's the Leonardo da Vinci notebook, his original notebook with all his scientific notes and stuff. Bill Gates, he had it on the market for $30 million, but they say he's willing to take $25.
Yeah, he spent $24 on it.
Oh, there you go.
He'd so he's going to make a $1 million
profit.
Well, how'd he get that in the first place? Why wasn't that in a museum already?
It was, kind of.
And some museums said, well, if you give us $24 million, we'll sell any. Walk into the Louvre and anything's up for sale.
The book is called the Codex Leicester, and actually made it into an inactive software. He made it into that after he got it.
Okay, and let's discuss that for a second.
All right.
Okay, you got the book, and I understand it's original that Da Vinci did it. But like you said, you can go online and see every single drawing in it. I mean,
but you got billions of dollars. That's like spending $24,000 on something like that to us. Maybe $2,400. Maybe even $2,400. $24. I don't know. But anyway, they got money they don't even know about.
Hmm.
A lot of luxury yachts.
Didn't you have that? What was that picture of Billy the Kid?
Yeah.
Somebody ponied up a heck of a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even Billy Kid shooting anybody.
They were playing croquet. Another one that keeps coming up is Jeff Bezos got the thing they call the giant clock, and it's worth $42 million for a giant clock designed to run for 10,000 years.
Like you're going, well, you enjoy it your lifetime, that's for
sure. I'll tell you another one that keeps popping up.
I don't need a clock that's going to run 10,000 years.
A bizarre item worth millions of dollars is a Mercedes-Benz.
I saw that.
That was owned by Adolf Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that kind of creepy?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that there's a shutdown rule on selling Hitler memorabilia.
I would think.
Wouldn't you?
By a town.
It seems bad taste.
Yeah.
I guess that never stopped anybody in the world.
You could go for a ride on a SpaceX rocket for like $450, $450,000 per seat.
Didn't William Shatner do that?
Yeah, but they didn't bring him back.
He's still there.
One-way ticket, William.
Yeah, I got a commercial for you, Greg. It's about halftime.
Hey, about right.
There you go.
So take me and read this. It'll be. Hey, I see you got big print for me.
I put big print on it for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Here we go.
Bob Hope style.
You got it. Today's episode is brought to you by Uncle Dan's Premium Body Oil. Now, here's something I may have to call him about. Because the oil I use on the girls.
Oh, no. Keep reading.
Okay. See what we got here. As the official body oiler for the University of Florida. I was going to talk to Dennis about that because it's just not oily enough, I don't think. But we'll work on that.
Yeah.
As the official body oiler for the University of Florida's women varsity alligator wrestling squad, I have to make sure that only the finest oils touch the bodies of my grappling gatorettes. These ladies trust me to have the magic touch. And that magic touch comes courtesy of Skillful Hands and Uncle Den's Premium Body Oil. And we touched it up, and it's really, really good now. As most of you know, having an extra oily body is the key to success in the world of alligator wrestling. Uncle Den has once again reached into his bag of tricks and formulated what can only be described as the world's slickest body oil. You know, did you try it? Did he work it on you, Rick, to see if it works?
I'm not an alligator wrestler.
I know,
but Alan's the one who used to oil up.
Oh, that's true. It's a little oily. Uncle Dan's oil is good for your skin.
And oil up to wrestle other men.
Yeah, you did. And good smelling. You can trust this nose. Yeah, I know. Thank you, Rick.
No problem.
If you don't want to have the skin of an old alligator like me, reach for Uncle Dan's Premium Body Oil. Your skin will thank you. Available at gas stations nationwide. Uncle Dan is official sponsor of the University of Florida's Grappling Gatorettes.
Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. No, that's very good stuff, Uncle Dan.
Some Russian mafia guy owns the Hitler Mercedes.
Is that what it is?
Spent $15 million.
That sounds about right.
That would be worked out.
You mean Putin?
One of his boys. Olarks, or whatever they call it.
That's kind of creepy.
You know, there's you can buy body parts of saints, too, that there's a market for that.
Relics?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you can buy relics of saints. Yeah.
There's a relic in every altar, right?
That ain't right.
I thought not, too. You know that finger of Copernicus that we saw?
Yeah.
Or was it one of those guys?
Galileo's finger.
Yeah, in a museum. Again, that goes to the whole notion of who made the decision to cut him up?
Well, he was dead.
Well, I had. Okay. I understand that, but I mean, still, you know, you're getting ready to bury Galileo. I mean.
Wait. Let's cut off one finger.
Oh, just one.
There's something to remember.
Actually, there's two of them missing.
Maybe it was a ring finger. It was the only way they could get it off.
Or maybe it came off during his lifetime.
Or maybe it was one that he held up a lot.
That's probably what I was thinking.
There was a Civil War general by the name of Sickles that had his leg shot off.
Yeah.
They had to amputate his leg.
Yeah, and he kept it.
They amputated it, and it's in a museum at National Health Museum in Washington, D.C. And he would go visit his leg every so often.
Are you kidding me?
That's 100% true. Daniel Sickles.
Daniel Sickles.
And when he would get close to it, it started to twitch.
Yeah. Trying to reattach to him.
Oh, boy.
I just like the idea of going to visit your leg in a museum.
Oh, that was a good leg.
I really like this leg, you know.
Okay, now let me ask you something else. If you had a leg that shot off during the war,
yeah,
and they put it in a museum like this, was he a general?
Oh, yeah, of course, general, Union general.
Union. When you die, do you want...
They should put it back.
That's what I'm saying. Put it in there with him.
So that when resurrection comes, they don't have to hunt around for it.
Yeah, but I think that when resurrection comes, wouldn't it just like...
Reattach. Yep.
And someone in the museum says, oh, I guess Sickles is back.
Yeah. Look at that. His leg's up. Heading south.
Made it to heaven.
So what if judgment is that you go to hell? You still have to get your leg back before you go?
Start smoking. Ooh. Bad news.
Not good.
Bad dates.
Now, well, let me ask you this. When you go to some museum and they've got somebody's bones laying there, whether it's, you know, like some saint's bones or, you know, some historic figure's bones or some Neanderthal man's bones, do you get upset that these body parts haven't been properly buried and treated with respect?
You mean like when I went and looked at like 25 or 30 Egyptian mummies in a British museum?
Yeah.
Didn't faze me a bit.
You're not saying these items should be repatriated back to their homeland and given a proper burial.
I say this belongs in a museum.
Indiana Jones.
I know. Okay. I got it. I did see that movie a couple of times. So yeah, I know.
Good for you.
Miracles.
Speaking of movies, you know, something we never got around to doing was analyzing the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
That was a couple months ago.
Think of who won the Oscar Best Picture. It was
Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah, the bomb guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go see that?
Yeah.
How was it? Long?
Long?
Yeah.
He built the atomic bomb.
Didn't you see...
blew up Japan.
Did they change the ending?
He bombs Toledo instead.
It's like
you wouldn't know it.
Who is the other guy that makes movies that changes history?
Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino.
They made the bomb and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Press the button again. Try it again. It always worked in the desert. Okay, I watched the movie The Crystal Skull, Indiana Jones and Crystal Skull the other day. Yeah. And there's that part where he's in the town that was created to be a...
To blow up with the atomic bomb
test site.
And he realizes they're about to drop the atomic bomb on
it. So he hides in a lead-lined refrigerator that, like, flies a mile through the air, tumbles 50, maybe 60 times. He opens the door, steps out, fine. He doesn't have a bloody nose, nothing.
They didn't even let the Mercury astronauts do that.
No.
It's a movie.
He would have just been a pile of goo.
Yeah.
Spilling out of there.
He kind of is now, isn't he?
He would have like a mashed Vienna sausage is what he would have looked like coming out of that refrigerator.
Mm.
You know, a big, you know, 280 pounds of Vienna sausage. But
there's an interesting scene in that movie, too, where they're driving through the jungle, like, you know, sword fighting and fighting over that bag with the crystal skull in it.
Right.
Which begs the question, why didn't one of the people just stop their car?
That would have been convenient.
As opposed to, oh, we just got to keep driving.
Well, that's the first one where
he's
in the truck and he's underneath the truck, you know, hand over handing it back until he gets to the back of the truck. And then climbs back up. Why didn't the guy just stop the truck? I mean, everybody in the car in front of him could see that Indiana Jones was underneath the truck. You know, it just said,
halt! Just pull over and we'll shoot him.
right there. Done. Boom. End of the movie. Now, the critics have gone through, when I say critics, you know, like these film people.
Like people who don't have anything to do with their lives.
Nothing to do except scan the internet and say, okay, here's what's wrong with this, this, and this. And came up with 68 different points in the movie where they could have killed Indiana Jones.
And just shot him and beat
him. Yeah, it would have
been over. But the movie wouldn't have been made.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they say it would have been, things would have worked out exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
No matter when,
right. Jones had never been there.
No, exactly. No matter when he got killed in the movie, Nazis were going to end up with the Ark. They were going to open it and kill everybody.
Right. And like in the movies, he is the deadliest archaeologist to ever walk the earth.
Ever.
Nobody's killed more people than Indiana Jones.
In his movies.
He's killed more people than James Bond.
That's pretty close. I tell you what, that's pretty close
analogy. I think he's killed more people than Scarface.
Ooh. Well, that's a lot of people.
It is, but he's been in four movies. Scarface dies in the first one.
How about that guy in The Kingsman?
Oh, he kills a lot of people, even in a church.
Yeah.
He does this all in one day.
I did see that one Kingsman.
That first one?
Yeah.
He kills a lot of people in that church.
A lot of people. A lot of people.
In a lot of different ways.
You bet.
If what you want to see is a movie of a guy killing a whole lot of people in church, like with
set to music,
with hatchets and guns and bombs and axes. I mean, it's just, there's your movie, The Kingsman.
Right, and it's got like that kind of slow action film methodology that, you know, like they speed it up, slow it down. It's fantastic, and it's set to Leonard Skinner's Freebird.
The fast part, when it kicks into gear.
Yeah. When the music starts, man, he starts going.
Oh, yeah.
But they're all bad.
Yeah, they're rednecks. So you can kill all of them you want, right?
Wait a minute.
I thought we stopped talking about killing stuff.
We did.
But this is a movie.
Yes.
So it's not like...
No, we're talking about the movie. Yeah. It's not like us doing it. We don't believe in that sort of thing.
No, absolutely not.
Never. Never, never, never. Okay, so Oppenheimer was big.
Barbie kind of got shut out.
No, it got the best original song. Billie Eilish, I think.
It wasn't the Ken song, though.
No,
it was not the Ken song.
But he sang it.
He sang the Ken song at the thing, though.
With pink gloves on.
That guy's having a ball with that part.
Who is that, Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it got the best song. Who was the Emma Stone got best actress?
Yeah, but they were supposed
to, movie I never heard of.
Yeah, but they were supposed to have given that to the Indian movie. The one about Indians, huh?
They made a mistake.
Well, technically, the Oscars can be won by anyone in a category, but in the real world, they assume that they're going to give it to, you know, if you've got some cause that Hollywood really wants to get, you're supposed to win the Oscar for that.
I got you now.
And the lady who was up for...
She started standing up. But,
oh, Emma, what? Emma Stone.
Yeah, like in Zoolander. He goes up to collect his award.
Wasn't paying attention. Well, speaking of not paying attention, if you'll recall, Scarface himself was handing out the award for... Was it best actor or best movie?
You mean the actor who played him, not the real criminal.
Yeah. Al Pacino was up there handing out the award. And
did he give it to the right person?
He gave it to the right person, but you know how... And the Oscar nominees are... He just skipped that part and just said, and the winner is.
That's the way. You know,
and Jimmy Kimmel comes on after him and said, I guess Al's never been to an award show.
Pretty good. Robert Downey Jr. finally won one, right?
Yeah, took him a while.
He did.
Oppenheimer.
He was nominated before, wasn't he?
Yeah. For the Charlie Chaplin thing.
Chaplin.
Wasn't he nominated for...
No.
Yeah, no. Robert Downey was not... No. He was nominated for Tropic Thunder.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Nope.
I think he was.
Nope.
Look it up.
I will, but I already have.
In 2008, Robert Downey Jr. was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Tropic Thunder.
Winner of Best Kiss Award from MTV.
What?
What? In the prequels of the movie Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh.
And they were showing what other movies these all the actors from the movie were in.
Yeah.
And it shows, you know, whatever's Lazarus, five-time Oscar winner. You know, nobody's been a five-time Oscar winner for acting. And so he's got that, and that's his credit. And then they flash over to Tobey Maguire, winner of MTV's Best Kiss Award.
Well, that's harsh.
Yeah, it was.
Tough day.
But he's in it.
Wrong. Tobey Maguire's not in that movie.
Oh, he most certainly is.
What part does Tobey Maguire play in
it? He plays that monk that's in love with Robert Downey Jr.
I don't remember a monk being in love with him.
If the forbidden love, what is the name
don't,
of the movie?
Don't look at me. I'm not the movie
the
guy.
Love that can't...
We need to watch that movie again, Rick.
The love that dare not speak its name.
That's right.
That's Oscar Wilde's line.
Okay, whatever.
When he got tried.
Okay.
He actually went to prison for that, you know.
For being gay.
Yeah. Well.
For lying about it.
Yeah, for the act, apparently, is what got him in prison. They don't arrest you for that anymore.
No. Give you a medal.
Give you an Oscar. Who won Best Actor? The guy from Oppenheimer, right?
Yeah.
Some guy with the name that I can't pronounce.
Gillian Murphy. He's
there
in,
you go.
He's in Peaky Blinders.
Okay, never seen it.
You've never seen Peaky Blinders? Have you seen that, Greg?
Oh, yeah, three times.
Have you?
Yeah. Wrong.
No. It's not a movie. It's a series.
Greg hasn't seen any movie three times.
It's not a movie. It's a streaming TV series about gangs in England.
No, I haven't.
That's fantastic.
Peaky Blinders?
Yeah. Yeah. The Great Ringhausen strongly recommends.
You haven't seen Animal House three times?
Yes.
Surely you've seen that.
Yes.
Okay,
yes. That's my...
How can you not... Keep watching Animal House.
I had a heck of an Animal House party. I had a toga party at the house one night.
For real?
For real. It was amazing.
Where was Mom and Dad?
No, I'm thinking. No, this is, we just got married. We had one in our basement.
Oh, you had it at your house?
Yeah. It was
as
amazing.
As an adult?
Yes.
Didn't you know better at that point?
It was a good night.
Was there anyone there other than you and Lisa?
No, it was about, we had about, thank you. We had about 30 there. It was a basement full.
Did you get drunk?
Oh, what do you think?
Keep toga on?
Oh, this is harsh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Later. I don't think I want to hear this.
No, you don't.
Did you end up on the roof?
No, stayed in the basement. Took a hose down there the next day.
And hosed out the basement?
Oh, God.
It would have been funny if you took the hose down that night.
We almost did.
Toga! Toga!
They were sprayed with fire.
Did you start chanting that?
We played Shout about 30 times.
Oh, okay, there you go. Did you ever do what?
Get sprayed with a fire hose.
With a fire hose?
Yeah.
No.
Like when they will break that out to break up a mob sometimes.
Oh.
Why would I be in a mob getting sprayed with a fire hose? That doesn't make any sense. Are you okay? Are you having a stroke? What are you doing?
No, my eyes are burning. I got something in my eye. It's burning me.
Wow.
Why do I look
at a fire hose on?
No, I don't have a stroke. But, you know, it's not, it wasn't against all possibility that you would be in a mob and get sprayed with a fire hose.
Well, where would I have been where I've been in that situation?
Diner.
I was thinking, well, yeah, thank you. I was going to say Carbondale.
Well, that's a good one, too.
Ooh, Halloween.
Yeah. Halloween.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible they might have broken the fire hose out and cleared the streets out of you, hooligans.
Could have been.
Hooligans. Mm.
He's been watching English TV, hasn't he?
Raft days, river raft days, they could have easily pulled the fire truck up and just done it for fun.
They might, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, those good days, too.
If we brought the fire truck to the Calhoun County Fairgrounds, Southern Illinois, and said, we're going to bring the hose out and we're going to turn it on, we're just going to spray people, and you have to pay $5 to be sprayed, I guarantee you they'd make money that day. That there would be guys who'd say, yeah! Here's $5, spray me.
especially during Demolition Derby.
There are, I will admit, there are some people over there who need sprayed.
Whoa.
Wow.
Got ticks on him.
His name is, good way to get him off, right? His name is Alan Ringhausen. Here's his address and phone number.
Boys, I think we're close.
Are we? Oh, my God. We're out of time.
Again? That's impossible. Well,
that's not possible. Your clock's wrong. You need to get a hold of Jeff Bezos' $42 million
clock.
10,000-year clock.
It's, I bet it's right.
It would be.
See you later.
Alligator.
From Greg Gator.
Rick Gator.
Okay.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Body Oil. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network, except no substitutes.